So today I was thinking of talking a little bit about the role of nature and the natural world in Buddhism. This week it's Earth Week, and Saturday it will be Earth Day, so that might be nice. Now I want to start with a poem that is from the Suttas, the Discourses of the Buddha, and the poem is from a monk called Mahakasapa. And he was a fully awakened being. So there's this collection of poems from fully awakened nuns and monks, and this is one of those, or part of it. Strewn with garlands of the musk rose tree, these regions are so delightful, so lovely. Echoing with the trumpeting of elephants, these rocky crags delight me. Glistening, they look like blue storm clouds, with waters cool and streams so clear, and covered all in ladybugs, these rocky crags delight me. Like the peak of a blue storm cloud, or like a fine bungalow, lovely, echoing with the trumpeting of elephants, these rocky crags delight me. The rain comes down on the lovely flats, in the mountains frequented by hermits. Echoing with the cries of peacocks, these rocky crags delight me. So this kind of poem shows how there's still kind of an interest and a delight in nature, even fully awakened beings who might be all equanimous, you would think. You know, they're not like indifferent about it, and it can be a real delight and a real support to be in nature. And that is also what science points out nowadays, how helpful it is to be in nature and amongst the trees or the desert or the ocean or whatever it is where we are. I remember once that I read about research. And I don't have any any link to that or anything, but this is from memory, where they looked at people in the hospital who had a view out to some trees or nature, and others who didn't have any like that. And those people who had the view, they healed much quicker than the other people. So that kind of points to how important it is, how important nature is in our lives. And I don't know, if I go into nature, I often feel this kind of relaxation and some ease, like something in the body eases up when, you know, when amongst the natural world. And especially when we're alone, this, you know, we might be more present for what is happening, like if nature kind of draws us towards the present moment. More than, you know, if we're behind our computer, for example. I remember that I once worked in an office, and there was a window in the office, which was great. And the window looked out at this one tree, and then this industrial kind of building behind the tree and the sky. And just being able to see the tree from my desk was helpful. Like, just here for a few moments here and there, I could just focus on this tree. And then back to work. I felt kind of the support of this lonely tree there in the industrial area. When I moved here to Richmond, you know, not too long ago, we moved into our house like in August, and since we moved from across country, we didn't bring any plants because you're not allowed to bring any plants, you know, in a moving truck. So we didn't have any plants at first. So it took us a while. At some point we bought some house plants, and made such a huge difference in the house to have some house plants. Just so simple, you So, you know, every little bit of nature can make difference in our lives. And in fact, you know, we are nature, right? We are part of nature. We used to live as a species thousands of years ago. We lived, you know, in harmony with the natural world, as hunters and gatherers and stuff. It's only very recent that we are living in this climate control area, you know, in a climate control spaces. And the Buddha seemed to be in tune with all of this. You know, most of his teaching happened outside in forests, groves, you know, under the trees. And he was also, you know, born under a tree. And then he attained his awakening under a tree on the bank of a river. And then he died amongst the trees as well. So all these important moments in his life were all outside in nature. And there are many instances where the Buddha encourages us to practice in nature. And I'll read one quote. The Buddha says, "A practitioner gone to a wilderness or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut sits down cross-legged with their body straight and focuses their mindfulness right here, just mindful. They breathe in, mindful, they breathe out." Talks about meditating in the wilderness or at the root of a tree or an empty hut. And I guess, you know, there's nothing wrong with practicing in a climate controlled space like we're doing right now. But sometimes it can be supportive to, you know, connect or reconnect to nature. And not only to go on a walk every once in a while or to go out on a camping trip or to the beach or, you know, in whatever way we usually go out in nature, but we can actually practice in nature. Meditate in nature. And I've been practicing in nature or outside in the yard, basically almost every day. And usually I walk for a little bit outside, just do walking meditation. And then I sometimes sit for a little bit more and, you know, just see whatever I'm up for. And if it like rains, then there's this little thing above the front door that I can stand under. So then I stand for a little bit, but I have a back issue, so I can't stand too long, but then at least I'm outside for a little bit. So then, yeah, we can just try that, like find a spot where we can sit or walk quietly for a bit. You know, maybe we have a yard where we can do that, or even a balcony. And if we don't have that, maybe we have a house plant that we can use. And here in Richmond, like, there are tons of great spots where you could sit or walk outside. I mean, I sometimes sit at the river, like at the Pony Pasture Park, you know, sit on a bench there, or we can sit on the rocks in Belle Isle, or, you know, I used to, when I just came here, I moved first to an apartment, which was like right on the Lewis G. Lewis Park. And I would go there, like almost every day I would go there, and there's like a ton of benches in that park where you can sit. It's really cool. And then just now I came back from teacher training. I'm training to be a retreat teacher with my teachers on the West Coast. And so as part of the training was, we had some time off. And so a few of us went to the beach there, and it's so beautiful. And the beach is so different on the West Coast than here. And just being in that beautiful surrounding and just sitting there, we just meditated just for a while with a group. And it's just kind of like dropping into the meditation, like right away, much deeper than, you know, otherwise happens. And when we do it, when we try it, this, you know, trying to practice outside somewhere where we feel somewhat comfortable, and then we might notice, like, there's all these more things happening when we do that, like more sounds, birds and the wind, and or maybe cars that can happen too. And, you know, sounds and smells and the touch of the wind, and And the sun on the skin and all these kind of thing, or the rain, maybe we sit out in the rain. Temperature, like we do it all year round, you can notice temperature differences. And we can also practice with our eyes open sometimes, which can be really, you know, beneficial to practice, because I heard once a teacher say, like, if we practice with our eyes open, then we have so much opportunity to be aware, because we have our eyes open most of the day. Except when we're asleep, of course. So if we get that to be a habit, it can be really helpful to be mindful of seeing. And of course, this is, you know, if we really touch into being in nature, then this can help us to disconnect from the complexity of life, like all the social life and our work and busyness of, you know, our normal life, social media, you know, turn our phone off for half an hour. Can be really helpful. You know, be, and sometimes, you know, most of us might go out in nature with other people, but it can be really beneficial to be with ourselves or with someone who also is up for meditating in nature. Nature has a lot of beautiful lessons too for us. We can be in touch with the rhythms of life, the rhythms of day and night, and the rhythms of the seasons, and the rhythms of the moon and the stars, the vastness of the universe. If we connect to the open sky, it can help us to realize, you know, how small we actually are in such a big whole. Which can help us to let go of some things that might bother us, like opening to this vastness of the space. And sometimes being out in nature or seeing like the river flow by or seeing the trees can help us to see, like, oh, you know, the river just is, just flows, it just flows. And why can't I just let everything just flow by? Maybe I can, you know, just like the logs in the river, you see them go downstream. Maybe our thoughts and our emotions can be like that. Just let them flow down the river. And I once was on a retreat where I don't remember what happened, but I was kind of upset and kind of out of it. And I went for a walk in the forest, and at some point I was actually looking at the trees, and I was like, oh, wait, those trees are just, you know, they just are. They're standing there. You know, they're just equanimous with whatever happens. Like, they don't care if I walk there, or they don't care if it rains or if there's wind. You know, they just are. And it kind of helped me to let go of the upsetness that was happening. Like, if the trees can do it, maybe I can do it. And being out in nature might also help us to see that everything is nature. And that can mean a couple of different things, or maybe more than a couple. And one is literally, like, we are nature, the trees are nature, the earth is nature, but also everything is made out of nature, right? So this building is made out of natural materials, even, like, you know, chemicals and stuff, they still need to be made from natural elements and then get a chemical reaction, right? So we can't escape nature. And so is our mind nature too. Just part of everything that's happening. And another way that everything is nature is that it is the nature of a thing to be a thing. Like, it's the nature of a tree to be a tree, or a building to be a building, or, you know, this cup to be a cup. It's just, that's just the way it is. It's not that we can change that easily. And in this way, it can help us to see that, like, our anger is also just our anger. It's just anger happening, or happiness happening. So things things in the outside world, our bodies, our mind states. Everything is just arising and passing away. Just a natural unfolding what is happening. Just causes and conditions giving rise to this moment exactly as it is, unfolding into the next moment and the next and the next. And in this way, it's also just nature happening, just nature unfolding. And this is kind of a teaching, this way that everything is nature is kind of a teaching from my teacher, Sayadaw Utechaniya, Burmese monk. And he says, everything is experience. Whatever is happening through cause and effect. They do their job, we do our job. Just recognize what is happening. Everything is nature. So he points out we can just recognize what is happening. Just, that's just our job, not for things to be different. Just recognizing things are the way they are, unfolding in their own natural way. And that teaching can also help us in our practice to see that when we meditate, that things are just unfolding. We don't have to hold on to them, grasp them, or push them away. Just like when I said to the river, we can just let it go, just let it stream by. So a real encouragement or letting nature be a support for your practice. Even if you don't sit outside, you can still, at times, you know, little moments in the day where you walk in a park or you see a houseplant or you pet your cat or your dog, or you know, these little moments that we can connect to nature and the lessons that nature has for us. And when we are in nature, we can notice this relaxation that can happen, this ease, especially when we really connect with where we are. And it can help us support to disconnect from our busy life. Connect to something that's maybe bigger, a natural rhythm of life, this natural unfolding of things. This is David Loy. He's kind of an author on eco-dharma and based in the Zen tradition. He says, when we slow down and rediscover our primordial connection with nature, it becomes more evident that the world is not a collection of separate things, but a confluence of natural processes that include us.